in response to her testimony, all God's people said, because we do indeed each have a story. You have a story. I have a story. And the point is, those stories must be told. It may take gaining some traction, figuring out how do I start, who wants to hear my story. But believe me, your story, our stories, we must tell them. We need to do that right now. There is a verse over toward the end of Scripture. It's in the New Testament. Peter wrote some letters called 1st and 2nd Peter to a widespread audience. Actually, just he wrote them to any and all believers who would listen across the world in the first century. He gives us some good sound advice. And it's over in what we call the third chapter of 1 Peter, verse 15, where Peter says this: sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to anyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. I want to spend our time this morning just moving through this passage, talking through it, figuring out what Peter has to say about our story. There are a couple of words in this verse that I can pronounce, but the meaning, what Peter meant, sometimes is a little bit confusing. He says, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Sanctify. What does that word mean? What could it mean? Why would he choose such a word? Sanctification, big, long Bible word, but one that is very seldom used in everyday conversation. The verb form, sanctify, that he uses here, actually could mean set apart. When he says, sanctify Christ Jesus as Lord in your life, he is saying, take Jesus and set him apart, not setting him aside, not pushing him to the background, but taking Jesus and actually setting him in the place of priority. And you notice he didn't say, set apart Jesus, period. He said, set apart Jesus as Lord in your hearts. Lord. That word that was commonly used in the first century as a word of reverence and respect. It grew to be a word that carried a lot more significance than just like yes sir or yes ma'am, no sir or no ma'am. But it meant everything. So much that the Roman emperor took on the title of Lord. You were to call Caesar, whichever Caesar it was, Caesar is a title, be it Caesar Augustus, Caesar Tiberius, you were to proclaim allegiance and you would claim Caesar as Lord of your life. But no, for believers, there was only one Lord, Jesus. So our goal in life, Peter would tell us, is to take the person of Jesus and to set him apart and to put him in such a place of honor to where he indeed is capital L, Lord, capital Lord of our lives. That carries with it a lot of commitment. If you're going to set apart Jesus as Lord of your life, then it follows that you're going to understand and know what you believe. The basic principles, the basic teachings of a relationship with Jesus as Lord, as Messiah in your life. And I guess the question would be, do you and I, do we know what we believe? Now, I'm not saying, do we understand? But I'm saying, do we have in our mind, in our heart, do we have the basic teachings, the basic principles of the Christian life to where we could articulate them, we could speak them, we could understand them, we could pass them along to someone else? Hopefully, a church is doing its task well when it educates, when it teaches us how to worship, when it teaches us how to take this Bible and understand what it has to say, to know how it is divided, to know how many books that are there, all of the facts and figures, but to know what we believe and to understand the real nature of Christianity, that it is indeed a relationship. So that word sanctify, don't let it scare you. If we're telling our stories, if we understand the need to tell others about Jesus, then what are we going to be doing? We're going to be setting Jesus apart. We're going to be putting him not first, but making him the one single priority in our life. And we're going to understand what that means and how to say it, how to communicate it. But there's another word in this passage that I can pronounce, and we use the word quite often, defense. He says, sanctify Christ Jesus as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense. But understand, Peter's not using defense like we might think of it today. Defending against an enemy is mainly what we would say. Or in the sporting world, if you're a football team, you play offense and defense. It doesn't mean that either. But basically what he is saying here is if we are giving a defense, we are what? We're giving an answer. We are explaining what it means to follow Jesus. Literally, in the language of the New Testament, this word is apology or apologetic. Maybe you've heard that word before. An apologetic sounds like someone who will stand up and give the right answer and give a defense. And that's what it means. It means that whenever you're given the opportunity, you what? You speak concerning the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ, the Lord. You notice that Peter says, when you give this account for the hope that is in you, when we're sharing with others who Jesus is, that we're doing it with gentleness and reverence. That means, folks, that all these ideas of judgment and hellfire and brimstone generally have no place in our explanation of who Jesus is in our lives. Or if we're trying to witness, it's not going to be that we say, you either turn or burn, or get saved or fry like a sausage in you know where. We're saying what? We're saying that we do everything that we do with an attitude of gentleness and reverence each and every time we share our story. The goal then is to persuade. The goal is to convince others of who Jesus is. And the path to making that known is going to be wrapped up in one word, pursue. Pursue. If you're sitting on this side of your pew, look down and you're going to see that there is a stack of cards that say pursue on them. Would you take one and pass it down the aisle across the pew? Pass it so that every single person sitting in your section in your pew can get a look and have one of these in hand. I want you to ingrain in your mind this one word, pursue. This is going to be the word that we use in the life of our church for the next 12 to 14 months, as I see it. You go, well, why that time period? Well, many of you may know, some of you may not know, that we are beginning an expansion. We are going to build, we're going to refurbish, we're going to remodel our space. And that is going to cause us to have to make some changes in the way we do things. We're going to have to be flexible. We're going to be doing without some rooms, some areas of the church where we meet for Bible study and other activities. And we're going to have to follow the lead of those who are building out for us. We're going to have to creatively think of ways to keep our momentum, to tell our stories. And if there's one word that I want you to catch on to during these next several months, and not just during those next several months, but to change the makeup and the DNA of our church from the inside out, that word is going to be pursue. And I want you to take this little card and keep it with you, because it says right there on the front, I will seek to pursue others who do not have a personal relationship with God in the following way. I'm going to pray for them daily. I'm going to share my own story, my verbal witness. And I'm going to invite these people to FBCL, to our church. If you turn over on the back side, it has a place there for you to write out the names of three individuals. Surely you can think of that many. People who are unchurched, people who may claim to have gone to church in the past but have given up and tossed church out the window for whatever reasons they may have. It could be someone who is totally oblivious to the story of Jesus and to the story of the Christian life. And covering the entire gamut, you're going to identify three people, or at least one. Come on. Write their names right here. Keep this card. Keep it on your person. Put it in your wallet. Put it in your purse. And use this as a reminder to pursue, to go after, to do all that you can. Now, what this is going to mean for us, it's going to mean for us a different mindset. Hear me. This will necessitate a different mindset as we move forward. In my life, I have faced over the years some health crisis issues. Many of you know that I made it through a bout with cancer some years ago, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for a surgeon and a team of people who, as far as I'm concerned, saved my life about 5 years ago down at UT Southwestern. I've had over the years to watch my diet. I've had to exercise, do all those kinds of things. And it's an ongoing thing. But something happened to me just a few months ago that made me have to change my entire mindset. It's centered upon the fact that I went to my doctor to have a physical. And there was some good news and there was some bad news. The bad news had to do with some habits I have in my diet. It's really none of your business to know exactly what those things are, but you can kind of fill in the blanks as probably what they would be if you've ever struggled with weight gain and fluctuations, and just when you read that blood panel that they do and they read all those numbers and they give you the big picture. Well, I got a lecture from my physician, which I expected, and was told that I had to, among other things, I needed to shed some pounds. I needed to change my mindset. And one phrase that he gave me, and once again, I'm not telling you that there's one single diet that's going to work for all people. Everybody's different. But for me, after, you know, I was 63 years old, he said, here is your watchword from now on. Steak is better than cake, is what he said. Steak is better than cake. And he explained what that meant. Basically, it was, you can catch on to it, it's cut out the sugar. Quit eating that stuff that is just making you miserable, making you feel poorly, and is going to lead to other problems and issues down the road. So he freed me up to start enjoying foods that for 40 years I stayed away from, or at least I tried to moderate. Those things that were found in red meat, those things that are found in fats and all those kinds of things. And I said, you mean to tell me that I can consume the steak and the cheese and this and that? And he said, yeah, feel free. But you've got to change your mindset and you've got to cut out the things that contain so much sugar or the carbohydrates or whatever the case may be. Steak is better than cake. And you want to know something? It is. When you get used to it, it is. When you have the same thoughts I do, how in the world are we going to grow this church if we're adding on, if we're going into debt, if we're going to ask our people to give sacrificially? We all know what that means. It means that the ultimate payoff needs to be a series or a period of growth in our church. I'm talking numerical numbers. It's going to change. It's going to have to be a change of mindset. And so when we ask the question, what are we going to do to build up the numbers in our church to justify and to pay for all these things that we've planned and voted on as a church, I would want to ask you a follow-up question. Who are you pursuing? Who are you pursuing? So instead of how are we going to do it as though someone's going to come up with some magical formula, folks, we already know what must be done. It's got to be a change of mindset on our part. It's got to be steak is better than cake kind of thing. It's got to move to another question. What are we going to do? How are we going to make it happen? What is our plan? What is our vision? What is our mission? What is our strategic set of initiatives to make things happen? I'll ask you the question again. Who am I? Who are you pursuing? Because you see, we have a wonderful structure in place. I'm talking physical plant. It's going to be even better. It's going to draw more people. We know that. That's what always happens. But I'm talking about the plan we have in place called Sunday morning Bible study, called worship at 9:30 and 11, and all the things that revolve around those things. We have everything that we need, but we don't have a change of mindset. And nothing did any good for me regarding my own personal health journey these past months till I changed my mindset that steak indeed was better than cake. And once I got that, once I saw the returns for following that, once I realized what it meant and how much it helped, then it's my prayer that I never go back, that I always keep in mind that a well-balanced life of exercise and diet and food in and food out, regardless of my genetic makeup, regardless of the next cancer I'm going to get, I don't ever want to go back. Because I saw what a change of mindset could do and what it continues to do. See, that's why the story, your story, is so important. That's why this little card is a reminder that the watchword for our church, the one word, we don't need it any more than this, pursue. That's where it's going to happen. That's where the change is going to be. Peter's words were against the background of persecution, suffering. A lot of what you find in 1 Peter is God is going to see you through fellow believers who are under pressure. And that when the long arm of the Roman Empire and Caesar, whatever his name is, that claims to be Lord, and when you say, no, Jesus Christ is Lord, and when you're called upon to suffer for that, keep in mind the ultimate end game here, the ultimate end of the story. And perhaps another change of mindset is faithfulness is better than acceptance. Faithfulness far outweighs being accepted by society that is hostile toward God. So for you students, just imagine you're in high school, middle school. If you're not right now, just imagine when you were. Imagine you live in a society where young people abuse drugs. Where young people casually sleep with one another. And where this circle of young people knows full well who does these things and who doesn't. You live in a society where cheating to get your way is commonplace. You live in a society where abuse of the internet, where bullying on your cell phone is tragically ruining lives. And you have to make a choice. You have to choose. What am I after here? Am I after acceptance? Because if I don't do these things, if I don't participate in these things, if I don't go along with these things, then I'm going to be an outcast. I'm going to be on the outside, and I'm going to suffer because of it. But a story to tell and a mindset that's changed. Those who were in pursuit and bringing people to Jesus. It's hanging on to that truth that faithfulness in your walk, faithfulness in your story is far better than acceptance by this world. You see, that's the tension we live in. We rub shoulders. We are in the same work environment. We are seeking to open up our lives and to tell our story in such a way that God is honored. And the advice that Peter gives to us was true in the first century, just as it has been through all the way down through the centuries to where we stand, where we live today. That faithfulness is far greater and better than acceptance. So, if we're going to take that verse and kind of put it in some easier language to understand, what would it be? Maybe it would be something like this. Worship Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. And whenever you're asked to explain your life in Christ, do so with gentleness and reverence. What's the one word? Pursue. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to come before you, to hear your word, to know that you're faithful. And Father, we pray that as we wrap up this hour that we spent in this place, that you would begin to work in our hearts that change of mindset. Help us to pursue, to think of every time we come to church wondering, who can we bring with us? Who can we invite? Thank you, Lord, for working in our lives. It's in His name we offer our prayers. Amen. We wrap up this hour the way we do each and every time we gather, for we believe that when God speaks, we're given an opportunity to respond to His word. Those responses can be one of a number of things. It could be that there's someone in this very room and you've yet to say yes to the claim of Jesus upon your life, to make Him Lord of your life. It's something that you are confused about, perhaps, something that you want to talk about further. There'll be ministers and deacons here to help explain, to pray for you, to guide you. So if beginning that relationship with Jesus is what you desire in your life, step out and come forward today. Maybe you're here and you know the Lord, just never told the world, never professed your faith in Him. Then we're commanded to do that. That's what the Scripture says. So as you stand before a congregation like this, you're telling the world that you belong to Jesus. Maybe it's that you need to follow Him in believer's baptism, of your own choosing, identifying with Christ and His death and His resurrection. Let's talk about what that means so that you can follow through and understand and obey. Maybe it's a church family that you're in need of today. Here we are. Only church in the area? Of course not. Great churches all around us. The key is to find the place where you can plug in, where you can serve, where you can belong. And so we offer our lives to you. How do you join a church like ours? You step out. You make that commitment. That's just the beginning. And then for many of us, it's all about this one word. It's all about what's on this little card to pursue. You know, for years and years, your mindset may have been, well, I'm going to show up and see my friends at church. Nothing wrong with that. I'm going to be with my prayer partners. Nothing wrong with that. But if steak is truly better than cake, then you need to get a new mindset that I need to be pursuing those who aren't here. I need to be thinking in every single thing I do at this church, every single event I need to have in my mind. Who can I bring? Who can I pursue? How can I help connect this person to the love of God? That's what it's going to take. And if that stirs your heart as it does mine, then take those names or consider whose names you'll put on the back of that card and pursue. That's our invitation. I ask you to stand with me as we sing, we wait for you here as God leads.